Okay, so we've been looking at a broader theme for a while now. I'm just going to read you something from 2 Peter in light of what we've been looking at. Peter says in the second letter, I'm reading to you from chapter 1, verse 10. Therefore, brethren, we be all the more diligent to make certain about his calling and choosing you. Be all the more diligent to make certain about his calling and choosing you. And then again in Corinthians, we know that Paul says to the Corinthian church, test yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. So clearly, the Bible tells us to make sure that our following Christ will end in salvation. Because there is the danger that we are part of the church and part of Christianity and call ourselves Christians, but yet in the end, we will be disappointed. We will stand before the judge and not be ready. There's that reality. And Peter, for example, in 2 Peter, he lists a number of things. He says, therefore, for this very reason, in light of God's promises, applying all of your diligence, everything, pouring all your ambition and energy into this. Supply to your faith, moral excellence. And in your moral excellence, knowledge. And in your knowledge, self-control. And in your self-control, perseverance. And in your perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, love. There's this pursuit that needs to be happening in the Christian life. And so what we've done for the last couple of weeks, we went through a list of a number of these character qualities which the Lord requires in us and which ought to be growing in us. In other words, if you are truly a disciple, these are the things that you will be growing in. And if you are not growing in them, take note, because you may be, in the day of judgment, one of those who will be disappointed. And we don't want that. And so, in keeping with that theme, I was thinking about Christmas, and I thought to myself, how could we think of that theme in light of the coming of Christ, of the birth of Christ? And so what I've done was, I'm going to look at Christmas and the coming of Christ in light of your salvation and my salvation. So I've entitled this Christmas and your salvation. In John chapter 16 verse 28, Jesus says, I came forth from the Father and have come into the world. In John 5:36, Jesus says, the Father has sent me. In John 5 verse 30, he says, I can do nothing on my own initiative. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just because I do not seek my own will, but the will of him who sent me. Jesus Christ comes into the world bound by a mandate and committed to a purpose. He was sent into the world. That baby that we today sing about and think about and celebrate came into the world not to do what he wanted to do, but to do what the Father sent him to do. So the question is, what was his purpose? What do you think his purpose was? Why was he born? Was it to make the world a better place? Was it to secure health, wealth, and prosperity for everyone? Was it to give the world a good example to follow? Why was Jesus born? Why did he come into the world? Why did the Father send him into the world? I'm going to answer that question this morning, but I have a related question that I want you to think about. Why is it important for you and for your salvation to know why Jesus came into the world? Does it matter? Luke chapter 14. Just turn there with me for a moment. Luke chapter 14. Verse 25. Luke chapter 14, verse 25. Now a large crowds were going along with him, and he turned and said to them, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple." Those are strong words, aren't they? You can't be my disciple if you don't pay this cost. Verse 27. "Whoever does not carry his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." Now let me just say something which Jesus doesn't touch on here. Unless you become a disciple, you can't be saved. Unless you become a disciple of Jesus Christ, you cannot be saved. Think about it like this. Imagine life is like being lost in the woods, right? You're born into this massive forest, and you need to make your way out of this forest. But you haven't got anything with you. You've got no compass, you've got no river to guide you, you've got zero. You can't see the stars, nothing. You're lost. That's life. Okay, and so people grope around for an answer. They go to different religions and they go to different, you know, things in life to try and find the answer for life. And as you walk and trying to find your way, you find a man named Jesus. And he says to you, "Do you want to get out of here?" And you say, "Yes, I do." And he says, "Follow me. Follow me and I will take you out. I will lead you to safety." Unless you follow him to the end, you will not get out. That's discipleship. Unless you follow to the end, you will not be saved. Okay. With that in mind, Jesus says, if you don't hate your father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even your own life, you cannot be my disciple. You can't follow me. Whoever does not carry his own cross and come after me won't be able to follow me to the end. There's a cost to discipleship. There's a cost to following Jesus. Then he gives this explanation, this parable. He says, which one of you, when he wants to build a tower, we are in our case a house, whom of you won't sit first and calculate the cost to see if you've got enough money to build the thing? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation, is not able to finish, everyone will see it and begin to ridicule him, saying, "This man began to build and was not able to finish." What is Jesus' point here? The guy had to, he wanted to do something, but he had to calculate the cost. Okay. Similar idea, verse 31. What king, when he sets out to meet another king in battle, will not first sit down and consider whether he is strong enough with 10,000 men to encounter the one coming against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is still far away, he sends a delegation and asks for terms of peace. So then, in the same way, he says, application now, none of you can be my disciple who does not give up all his possessions. What is Jesus talking about? Do I have to sell my car, my house, everything else to become a disciple? His point here is that discipleship will cost you something. And if you are not willing to pay the cost, you may be part of the church, you may be reading your Bible, you may be praying every night, you may be doing all kinds of Christian things, but you're not a disciple. You will stand in that day and be disappointed. So, here's what I want to do first this morning. We're going to look at five reasons that Jesus was sent into the world. Five reasons, I'll go through them, they're not going to take long. But five reasons that Jesus was sent into the world. We're going to look at his own words. He's going to tell us, this is why I came into the world. Okay? And I want to do that because discipleship means I'm going to follow him where he goes. And as he's teaching me, I'm going to obey him, right? Now, as Jesus comes into this world, he comes in with a mandate, a purpose. And as one who comes with a purpose, you know what he does when you become a disciple? He draws you into his purpose, into his life. You become a follower of Jesus. You go where he goes, do what he does. His purpose becomes your purpose. That's discipleship. So I want to look at these five reasons that Jesus was sent into the world so that you can be able to calculate the cost of your discipleship and make sure that your discipleship will end in salvation. Okay? Father, as we look at these five reasons that you sent your Son into the world, and then apply them to our own discipleship, Lord, our own following after your Son, I pray that you will help us to evaluate our lives. Help us to count the cost, to calculate what we need to be calculating for each one of us. And Lord, I pray that you will, that you will help us ultimately to pay the price and follow hard after you with all the strength that you supply so that we may be saved indeed and have the assurance of salvation. I pray for this in your name, Lord. Amen. So let's look at those five reasons Jesus was sent into the world. And as we look at them, I will apply them to your discipleship. Okay, first reason Jesus came into the world. Mark chapter 1 verse 38. Mark chapter 1 verse 38. Jesus says he came into the world to proclaim the gospel. To proclaim the gospel. That he might proclaim the gospel. Mark 1:38. He said to them, well, let me just back up a little bit. Verse 35, in the early morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went away to a secluded place and was praying there. Now, what had happened before this is he had just healed, I believe it was Peter's mother, and did many miracles. And so people were looking for him. Where's this guy that does these miracles? Right? And so in the early morning, he gets up and he goes to a secluded place to pray. Verse 36, Simon, which is Peter, and his companions started looking for him. Where is Jesus? They found him and said to him, everybody is looking for you. Why are you hiding yourself? What are you doing? He said to them, let us go somewhere else to the towns nearby so that I may preach there also, because that is why I came for. Now, during the course of his life, Jesus did many miracles. So many that, in fact, John says if we had to write everything down, we wouldn't have enough paper to do it on. And as you all know, that many in the church make the miracles of Jesus. In other words, I'm talking about the healings and the feeding of the people and the walking on water and stilling the storms and casting out demons, right? They make these things the primary focus of his life. As if that's why Jesus came, to do these miracles. And then they say, you see, we need to be doing them as well. But is that why he came? What does he tell us? He says, I came to preach the gospel. In Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1 down to verse 4, I'm not going to turn there. The Bible is very clear that the miracles and the healings and the feeding of the 5,000 and the walking on water and the stilling the storms and casting out demons, all of those miraculous works had a purpose. Do you know what it was? Some of you will remember from our time together at the membership class. It was to authenticate the message and the messenger. To authenticate the message and the messenger. It had a secondary purpose. Okay? In other words, all of the works that Jesus did, It was all given to him to authenticate him and his message. The Bible says God was testifying with them that this message is the true gospel. The primary reason Jesus came into the world was to proclaim the gospel. What does that have to do with your discipleship? It's very simple. You have to hear and submit to his message to become a disciple. Okay? It's very simple. If you want to be saved, if you want to be a disciple, if you want to follow him out of the woods and make it, you have to hear and submit to his message, not some kind of, you know, man-made message that has Christian flavor on it. You've got to know what he said and follow him. So the question, what was his message? What was the main message? Well, turn with me to 1 John. Turn with me to chapter 1 of 1 John. John, 1 John chapter 1 verse 5. So, in chapter 1 verse 1 down to verse 4, John says, what was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have looked at and touched with our hands concerning the word of life. So, he's saying, hey, I've got first-hand experience with Jesus. I touched him, I looked at him, I heard him speak. Verse 3, what we have seen and heard, we proclaim now to you. So what I'm about to tell you is what I heard from Jesus himself. First-hand experience. This is the message we heard from him. Verse 5. Ah, okay. So this is his message. What is it, John? And announce to you that God is light and in him there is no darkness at all. So this was the main thrust of the message that Jesus preached. God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. Verse 6, application. If we say we have fellowship with God and yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of his son Jesus cleanses us from all sin. So John uses a metaphor here of light and darkness. What does he mean by that? The context, if you read further, he's talking about confession of sin and hiding sin. To walk in darkness is to hide your sin, not to bring it into the light. To walk in the light is to confess. Okay? Proverbs 28 verse 13. Turn there with me. Proverbs 28 verse 13. Proverbs 28 verse 13. We are looking at the first application here of the cost of discipleship. Jesus came that he might proclaim the gospel, and I'm saying you have to hear and submit to his message to become a disciple. So what is his message? His message is, if you walk in the dark, you refuse to confess your sin, okay, you will not be able to become a disciple. To become a disciple is to submit as he is in the light. Proverbs 28 verse 13. He who conceals his transgressions will not prosper. But he who confesses and forsakes them will find compassion. He who conceals his transgressions will not prosper. Psalm 32. Psalm 32. Verse David experienced and learned this lesson the hard way. Verse 3, when I kept silent about my sin, I walked in darkness for a while. My body wasted away through my groaning all day long, for day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My vitality was drained away as with the fever heat of summer. Verse 5 is where he actually comes into the light. He says, I acknowledged my sin to you, and my iniquity I did not hide anymore. So here's a man who lives Proverbs 28. I came into the light, I confessed my sin, and I forsook it, turned away from it. Okay? When I did that, I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. So what is the message of Jesus that we have to hear and obey in order for us to become disciples? The message is simple. God is light. If you claim to know God, yet you are not confessing sin and forsaking sin, you are not in that process of repentance. The Bible tells us that, says to you, let me say it that way. The Bible says you are lying to yourself. Okay? Am I correct? Are those the words? If we say we have fellowship with Him and yet walk in the dark, we lie and do not practice the truth. So who are we lying to? We're lying to the people around us, right? I'm a Christian. But I'm not really following Jesus. And we're lying to ourselves. Here's the first cost of discipleship. Walk in the light. Walk in the light. Make sure that you are walking in the light. The second reason Jesus came into the world. So the first one was that he might proclaim this gospel to you so that you can be saved. That's why he came into the world. Second reason Jesus came into the world, that he might give his life as a ransom. John chapter 12 verse 27, then I want to turn to Matthew chapter 20 verse 28. John chapter 12 verse 27. Jesus is about to go to the cross. I want you to start with me in verse 24. And there's a bunch of people around him, and some Greeks come to see Jesus. They want to talk to him. And the apostles don't allow them to get through to Jesus. Philip, in fact, does tell Jesus, these people want to see you, but I mean, he's busy, and we know that he was sent to the Jews first, right? So he's busy with his ministry. And verse 24, truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone, but if it dies, it bears much fruit, talking about his own death. He says, the moment I die, then I will be able to reach out to all of the world. I'm not going to be bound to a ministry to the Jews, but I will then be able to reach the Greeks as well. Verse 25, he who loves his life loses it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it to eternal life. If anyone serves me, he must follow me. And where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. Verse 27, now my soul has become troubled. And what shall I say? He's troubled because he's about to go to the cross. What shall I say? He says, Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose, I came to this very hour. That's why I was born, Jesus says. Why? To the cross. Matthew chapter 20, verse 28.